Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for July the 7th in the year of our Lord, 2023. This is Hour 2 at 2 in the Go, always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country, to do so on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers, using the supreme law of the land, the Constitution of the United States of America. I call it the blueprint for liberty. And ladies and gentlemen, as you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. And as you know, we believe the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips. Dr. Scott Bradley, of course, with me both hours, freedomsrisingsun.com. I got an interesting story. Super PAC raises more than $10 million to support Robert F. Kennedy Jr., J.R., and his presidential campaign. This, according to Natural News. com. Our dear buddy Mike Adams and crew over at Brighty on Radio, God bless them. Thank them for all their work bringing us this story. Dr. Scott Bradley, JFK, or Robert F. K. Jr., for his campaign, the mainstream press ignoring him to the best of their ability, but the American people are wanting him to be in the mix. Over $10 million raised in just a few days, sir.
Well, this is a replay of the Ron Paul thing, you know, we had a few years ago when Ron Paul went out, took his message to the people, and the people responded, a populist kind of movement. The establishment obviously does not want him at all, and we could talk at some length. Bobby Kennedy, to me, is an enigma I've said before, probably even on your program, Sam, that he's the only Democrat that could beat Trump in a fair head-to-head competition. And I believe he'd beat him so soundly there would be nothing left of Mr. Trump. I believe that it's one of those things where if the Democrats were to allow debating in the run-up to the primaries, that he would soundly defeat everybody that was running against him, all of the flaky snowflakes that were out there, and especially Joe Biden with his inability to string a full sentence together. And he has given voice to the frustration of America with the COVID Bravo Sierra that's just plagued the country for the last 3.5 years, almost. And he's very intelligent, articulate. He speaks to the people. He speaks their language. He speaks all across all socioeconomic and racial barriers, everything else like that you're trying to put up. But here's where it kind of unravels, and I would be doing a disservice to your listeners if they took this as a full-throated endorsement of Bobby Kennedy, because he really does have some very major presentation skills and valid positions, but it really falls apart in some areas. I mean, he has spent his whole professional career trying to save the children, you know, this Children Defense Fund that he has against environmental things like, you know, insecticides and herbicides, and the idea of what vaccines have done to children and their families and so on and so forth. He has won, I don't know if it's bazillions really, but huge amounts of money against these huge threats to our children's health. And then he says it's okay to kill babies in the first trimester. It's a complete enigma to me. I say, holy cow, why is it so passionate to save, protect, preserve the children and all of their health and everything? But you're okay with killing them in the first trimester? It's a disconnect. And I don't know where he is on the Second Amendment. He lost an uncle and a dad to firearms, but I don't know where he is on that. I haven't heard a definitive thing. But then when you listen to him about coal-fired plants and everything, he starts sounding like Al Gore. And you go, holy cow, And I really do believe that, that the coal industry has been really sloppy in how they've done things. They've been poor stewards of everything. By the way, government involvement has been heavily involved in that, with the way they've the government has kind of given them kind of free rein to do whatever they blasted care to do. But he starts sounding like Al Gore, and it's kind of like, no, wait a minute. This global warming thing is not an issue that is man-caused, that's going to cause the demise of the planet the way that Al Gore's spoken of it. There's improvements we can make, obviously. I think if he tempered some of those
things. But if you block the sun, Dr. Bradley, if you block the sun, like Bill Gates wants to do, and you start burying CO2 in huge vaults, taking CO2 out of the environment, creating big underground vaults that could literally blow up and stuff like this, you can create crisis.
Well, they have, and they are, and the lies that we've been told.
Yes.
I mean, you look at the last couple of decades. This idea, the polar ice caps are expanding. I mean, it's something that, in fact, people could get. I mean, I remember when I was younger, they used to say, "Oh no, we're going into another ice age. We're all going to die." You know, it's one of those things. There's cyclical things that happen. But getting back to the Bobby Kennedy thing, he's a Ron Paul populist in so many ways, and I don't know. Go back, look on the internet, find it on YouTube or something.
You're right about that. Here's the deal: you mentioned that if he could debate, he could easily handle all of them and do very, very well. I agree with that. But now they're changing the debate rules, even in the GOP world, much less the quote, you know, debate for the general presidency. They're talking about just right now the GOP debates, which I know, RFK would not be in because he's running on the Democratic ticket. But the question is, who will and who will not sign the, quote, GOP pledge? They call it the GOP loyalty pledge to debate. And the pledge is that you've got to agree to certain things. You've got to agree to whoever the nominee is, unequivocally back them if you lose. With election fraud, I don't know why anybody would do that. Right now, Ron DeSantis and Donald Trump are unwilling to sign that. Nikki Haley and others are willing to sign it, mocking those who won't. But again, this is where you get this manipulated vote fraud. You know what? Why should we have a debate where you have to commit to things before the debate, commit to things that you may or may not agree with? If they commit vote fraud, I would never commit to support a nominee. And this is kind of what they're doing to try to rope in the candidates and commit more election fraud, Doctor.
It's party over principle. And anybody that's in your
yes,
listenership
sir.
Should understand how the founders felt about this egregious violation that parties would lead to. And we are there now, ladies and gentlemen. 12th Amendment kind of fostered it. We could talk about that at some length. But the fact of the matter is, Lincoln-Douglas debates or Kennedy-Nixon debates, that's what we need. We need those kind of exchanges of ideas in a generally available kind of format where it's taken to the people. And the people can say, you know what, this guy's all wet, or I like this guy's ideas, or whatever. This idea of shoehorning everybody for the party's benefit is just another charade of control. And, one other thing I had to mention about Kennedy, he wants to get rid of our military adventurism overseas. I mean, these things resonate with people. The Ukraine thing, dial it back, be done with it, walk away. But no, the war party, the Democrat party now, his party, is the war party. Of course, the Republicans always have been. But the fact of the matter is, he's saying things like that. But here's the problem.
Well, when it's time to run for office, they all preach peace. When it's reality and they govern, they're all hawkish as all get out.
I think
cave to the hawkish war machine.
Kennedy, I think, would be different. But here's the deal. He thinks it's like a big bank account or a piggy bank. I don't know what you want to call it. But we've got these bazillions of dollars we're sending overseas. And here's the deal. We're going to pull those back, and we're going to reallocate the money. No. If there's an unconstitutional thing you're spending money on, you can't take that unconstitutional money and spend it on other unconstitutional things. He's going to bring it home, and he's going to do the infrastructure stuff and social programs and things like that here in America. Look at the Constitution. Read it carefully. It does not allow that kind of spending either. But so he's communicating these ideas. And it's kind of like, you know, I remember back in the LBJ days, the Lyndon Baines Johnson days, it was guns and butter. We can afford both. We're a rich country, you know. But Kennedy's saying, no, we can't afford the gun side of it on these untethered military adventuristic wars that we have no constitutional authority to be in and no justification or anything like that, in spite of what Mike Pence and company are saying and Lindsey Graham and all those guys. We have no justification for these things. But he's going to take the money that is currently being spent on that, and he's going to spend it on social programs in America. Again, it's an enigma. If you're good, if you want to follow constitutional government, you can't have it both ways. You've got to say, okay, there are limits and bounds to what the government can do. Now, okay, do we have problems infrastructure-wise, and do we have problems with social needs and so on in this country? Absolutely. But to throw general government, federal dollars against it is unconstitutional. Now, here's just a thought, and we could discuss this at length if you wished, but I wish the churches would say, you know what, this is kind of in our bailiwick. This is our cup of tea. We're going to step in, and we're going to do blah, blah, blah. Oh, no, no, no. The churches are saying, send them to government agencies to get their needs taken care of. It's upside down. The churches are completely wrong on this. And so are state and local governments, the way they're handling it, too. So, anyway, it sounds like we got another little interlude here to pay your bills or something. But
time flies when you're having fun, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Scott Bradley, Sam Bushman on your radio. You know, I'll tell you this. Who will and who won't sign the GOP pledge? I would never sign such a cursive document.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Fighting for the soul of liberty and true pursuit of happiness for everyone. Freedom Fest 2023 is coming to the home of the blues and birthplace of rock and roll, Memphis, Tennessee, July 12th through 15th. It's the ultimate summit for liberty, educating and empowering through art, music, film, and comedy, while promoting economic freedom and highlighting today's political issues. Use promo code ROUND50 to save $50 off the current rate. Reserve your spot at freedomfest.com. See you in Memphis.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com. and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Live and on your radio, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman, Dr. Scott Bradley. So I find this headline interesting, speaking of Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who's speaking out boldly against vaccinations. There's a former researcher from the Communist Nation of China, but a good researcher, I might add. And I don't know how to say this name. It's C-H-A-O. Is that Chow? Chow is the last name. C-H-A-O and then C-H or S-H-A-O. So Cao Chow or K-O Chow. Anyway, at the Wuhan lab now reveals that COVID-19 was developed by the Communist Chinese Party as a bioweapon, doctor. There's a few people reporting this. Natural News, Liberty Roundtable, Brighty on radio and TV, you know, but most aren't touching this with a 10-foot pole. But now we have researchers that work for the Wuhan lab who literally say it was developed intentionally as a bioweapon, doctor.
Well, those guys probably won't be long for the world. They'll be disappeared. But I believe it even goes way before that. I believe that was being developed in North Carolina University. Taxpayer, U.S. taxpayer dollars going against it. Anthony Fauci.
So military in bed with universities in Carolina, right?
Absolutely. And here's the deal. If you develop some of these things and you work for the government, you get to be on the take if they end up patenting things. So you can make $150,000 a year extra over and above your bloated government salary for what you're getting. And so this gain-of-function stuff was going on, I'm absolutely convinced, at the University of North Carolina. It got too hot. It's a hot potato there. There was some whistleblower potential things, and so they shipped it overseas to Wuhan. Wuhan took control of it. I mean, these guys are all the same. I mean, you know, I don't care if they're in Wuhan or if they're a government agency doing it here. These guys are doing it for the nefarious purposes. Why do we need gain-of-function stuff that can be used to make it more deadly on human beings, more easily contracted? I mean, this stuff is diabolical. It's against federal law, all that kind of stuff, but they do it anyway. And then Fauci comes out with his, oh, ain't it awfuls, we're all going to die, so now we got to... And Trump was an idiot for listening to him and for the way they approached it and all those kinds of things. We shut this nation down. We completely debauched everything about this nation. Hey, look, when the American founding fathers were on the earth, they had pandemics. They had horrid things, dengue fever, malaria. They had these yellow fever outbreaks. All these kinds of things happened. There's not an escape clause in the Constitution that says, oh, when we get a virus or a germ or something like that that's threatening the population, we're going to take away all civil liberty. You can't worship the way you want anymore. You can't use freedom of speech. We're going to censor everything. We're going to shut down the economy, interfere with all contracts and everything like that. We're going to marshal the military forces against everything. We're going to seize industries. We're going to lock you down in your homes. All of these things, complete perversion of the Americanist way. They existed in 1776, 1780s, 1790s, there was nothing that would have, the founding fathers would have absolutely been appalled to think that what we have done to this nation. You know, now there's going to be people that will lay at the feet of Donald Trump the warp speed thing and try and make that a big political issue, which it should be, by the way. But the Joe Biden thing, they're going to get a pass on it because they were just carrying forth the Donald Trump stuff. But it's all wrong. It's all wrong. And when we fall for it again because of the latest iteration of whatever they're going to do to us, we'll be fools again. And the solution they brought did not work. We've talked a little bit.
I think we will fall for it again, though, doctor. We should learn our lesson. They say, you know, once shame on you, twice shame on me. I think we will fall for it again, though. I think we've learned our lessons in the sense that more and more people are waking up to the awful state in which we find ourselves. I think people are realizing the problems. I think people are concerned. I think people are starting to take notice. I think people are starting to gather and stand up and do things to make a difference. I think we're a day late and a dollar short, to say the least. But even though I do think that people care, I think there's still not enough of us, though. And I still think if something were to happen again tomorrow, they would instantly embrace the government type solution of the government answer, whatever that be. Regardless, I'm convinced that's where still most Americans are.
Sadly, I believe you're probably right. And that's why we've got to keep the pressure, keep the word. I think there's, by dribs and drabs, there's information coming out about what phony solutions there were. But you have large institutions, churches, for example, were completely complicit in this. In fact, I don't have any sound proof of it, I believe in my heart of hearts that many of the large institutional churches were at the planning table when this stuff was being put together. That's a betrayal of Christ. That's a betrayal of his flock. If they play this game, then they become instruments pawns, if you will, in the hands of the government agencies, they're every bit as guilty. If there's blood on anybody's hands in the government, there's blood on churches' hands, or at least the leadership of churches that played in this game. I mean, you think about the deaths that have occurred. I mean, you look at the VAERS, and it's a faulty measurement system. Really, the best evidence indicates that it's only reporting 1% of the adverse outcomes. But the very, very, you know, let's give them liberalization. They're doing 10%. If you multiply, let's just take the 1%, you multiply the deaths by 100. It exceeds what happened by the deaths of the so-called disease. And you look at we don't know yet the long-term effects, the infertility, the autoimmune things, the issues of people, how it's going to destroy people's ability to even function through the rest of their lives. You know, if they're going to have a heart problem
because of it. Well, how modified DNA and RNA will continue forward from generation to generation, we don't know either.
Well, that's the problem. You're dinking around with the God gene, if you will. You think about it. I mean, these guys are thinking.
They're playing God, Doctor.
They really are. There's an old adage that, you know, they say, what's the difference between God and a doctor? God doesn't think he's a doctor. I mean, he's the perfect physician, but he doesn't wear the title doctor, good doctor, anyway. So here's the deal. We really, really have got to awaken and arouse these people to a sense of their awful situation. There are people that are starting to see that. People that have been in my home, they come to me just broken, and they say, what do I do? I took the jab. I followed my church leaders. I followed the government leaders, good and caring government leaders. Come on, people. And it turned out very, very bad. And what do I do? How do I do this now? My health is cratered. And we've got to get smarter than that. We can't destroy this nation over stupid things that were similar to what the Founding Fathers said. No, we don't mess with this stuff. We don't dink around with it.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. And I have this question that Dr. Scott Bradley's brought up. And I've formed it into a question, and then I've got kind of a little teaser. And in the next half hour, I want to break down and go into detail about the churches and about their role and responsibility in early America and the founding of America and the revolutionary period, or whatever you want to call it. Why are the churches MIA is my question. Why are the churches literally missing in action? And then my second question is, why are they literally adding insult to injury? Is kind of my next point. And what I think we need to think about is the founder's recipe for success, ladies and gentlemen, in our nation. It started with private virtue and public virtue. And then it was widespread education about what private virtue and public virtue meant. And the churches led this cause. Okay, the black regiment, if you will, or preachers in the pulpit would literally stand and preach the principles and teach them publicly and privately. And they say that the word of God is more powerful than the sword. And so my question is, why are the churches MIA? And why are the churches adding insult to injury? And when you think about this private and public virtue discussion and this education discussion, and you understand the Founding Fathers and how they viewed religion and the value of religious liberty and its proper role and proper place in a country that looks to God, not government, in a country that says jettison parties, stand for the moral, the morality of a person. Let's hold the moral high ground is the way I like to say it. Then you begin to kind of go on this quest of understanding that I think really hits to the heart of the problem. We don't have churches standing up. They're missing in action. We don't have churches doing their best to teach people. They're literally adding insult to injury. When we get back, we'll let Dr. Scott Bradley fly on that topic. Why are the churches MIA? Why are the churches adding insult to injury? How about the founder's recipe for success? Private virtue, public virtue, widespread education. And by the government, but real, true education will do it in seconds.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Corey Myers. The discovery of a cocaine-filled baggie at the White House is bringing up security concerns. The baggie found in a cubby near the executive entrance, that's the same floor as the Situation Room and a dining area. Congressman Henry Cueler says we're lucky that this time it was only cocaine inside.
This was cocaine in a bag. Next time you could have another substance that could cause problems.
The latest jobs report shows the economy added 209,000 jobs last month. That's fewer than expected and a big drop from May's 339,000 new jobs. The unemployment rate was 3.6%. A summer vacation at sea is on hold for 3,300 travelers in San Francisco. They're still sitting on the Ruby Princess cruise ship after it hit a pier while docking yesterday morning. Once it sails, passengers will be on a 10-day trip to Alaska. Jack O'Donnell from Philadelphia says his family decided not to get on board the Ruby Princess after looking at the hole in the boat for themselves.
We decided to go see for ourselves because you never know. And when we walked by it and my son ultimately started crying as a result of what we were looking at, we made the decision as a family not to go on the boat.
The Biden administration rolling out a new initiative to lower health care costs, the first step to restrict short-term insurance plans, which the Department of Health and Human Services argue offer poor quality and coverage. The administration also estimating that Medicare restructuring under the Inflation Reduction Act will reduce out-of-pocket spending by $7.4 billion a year for about 19 million people. This is USA News.
This ad furnished by Nesmataju LLC. Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. Loans are subject to lender approval. See website for details.
Honey, the credit card bill came, and we're maxed out.
Great. Maxed out cards, rent is due, bills are piling up. We just need some extra cash to help us get by.
We should do what my brother did. He went to 27cash.com and got $3,000.
With our bad credit?
27cash.com is different. They're one of the largest personal loan networks. They can help people with any type of credit get up to $5,000.
I'm sure there's a lot of paperwork.
Nope. My brother said it was fast and easy. He did it right from his phone.
If you have a regular source of income, you can be approved for a loan of up to $5,000 in minutes, and your cash can hit your bank account as soon as the next day. Our lenders have millions of dollars to lend regardless of your credit history.
Great news. I went to 27cash.com and we'll have our money as soon as tomorrow.
Wow, that is fast.
If you need extra cash, go to 27cash.com. That's 27cash.com. 27cash.com.
Okay, before the break at the bottom of the hour for news, Sam kind of supposed a big, owing and awful case, and tragically, I am absolutely convinced that Sam is, if anything, understated the magnitude of the problem. The idea of the churches being missing in action. We have diluted the Word of God, it seems to me. It would seem to me in an effort to become, a kinder, gentler nation, if you've heard that term. This idea that we've got to be accepting of everything, first endure pity, then embrace kind of things. Churches have been on that path for such a long time. They would rather say, we're with the Black Lives Matter movement, in spite of all the evidence that it's a Marxist-based organization, because they want to curry favor on a race-based issue. Religion shouldn't be in any way, shape, or form a racist kind of organization, but they can be racist in the opposite direction, the reverse racism, by becoming so politically correct that they turn their back on sound foundational principles. I mean, what happened to the guys like Peter and John, the fourth and fifth chapters of Acts, where the powers that be forbid them to talk about their master, their Lord and Master, Jesus Christ? They say, hey, is it better for us to listen to you or go listen to our God? I mean, they got beaten. They got cast out, all those kinds of things. I mean, it's this, where is the backbone of churches anymore? And I fear that they fear. They fear to the point that they would rather be fearful of government and the, I don't know, the public opinion and things like that than stand with principle. And you know what? If you dilute the message so far that there's no more message, well, you might as well fold it up and call it good. I mean, it's like, where were the churches when government agencies said you can no longer practice your religion? Oh, yeah, we could have strip joints open and lap dancing going on, and it's a little more intimate than taking the emblems of the sacrament in a church setting. You could do, liquor stores stayed open, and I'm not saying they should have been closed. I'm not. I'm saying that religions folded. And this idea of religions performing the true purpose of religion, what is that? Well, it's to bring the message of salvation to mankind. I mean, the oint it awfuls that they're willing to convey with the way they respond to government. But here's the deal. They bow and scrape to government out of fear that they're going to lose something that they have intrinsically. In this nation, government cannot interfere with religion. I don't care if you're a 501c3 and you're worried about losing that, or if you're a religion that preaches this or that or the other, you cannot be interfered with government. Of course, there's exceptions, and we could talk about that at some length, about things that are understood by all religions to be wrong, like murder and theft and so on. But the fact of the matter is, it seems to me that religions have become so intently focused on being acceptable to the woke crowd that they've become kind of a detriment to the real message. Okay, so they're supposed to preach the message of salvation.
The Christians should be ashamed while government is whistling, or I'm sorry, while the churches are whistling past the graveyard, doctor.
Well, here's the deal. To visit the poor, the needy, the sick, the afflicted, to meet their needs. I mean, there are huge coffers available that religions have put away for the rainy day fund. I got news for you. If you're invested in pharma companies and in tobacco companies and in alcohol companies and in shopping malls or whatever you want to take as where their investments have been put, I suggest that there will come a time, and I don't know how far distant it is, but there will come a time when all of that protection, that safety that they think they've put away will fail. Everything will fail if it's not based upon sound principles. And if they're facilitating the destruction of the nation, I believe that they're accelerating that. And so I believe religions ought to start saying, you know what, our real job is to help bring souls to salvation. And, you know, you could fit that in any religion you're in. But in addition to that, the needy, the naked, the sick, the afflicted, the fatherless, the widows. I mean, all of these things they're the role of the church. And preserving liberty, the only way we'll have that is if we preserve our right to worship and our right to be able to interact in a free society. I mean, you know, Sam, before the last break, not the last break, before the top of the hour, I think it was, you talked about give liberally, donate. You said that's the only time we believe in liberalism. I don't believe that's the case. They've screwed up the name of liberalism. You know, liberalism is...
Well, you're right. The founding fathers advocates, used to be considered liberals, and the conservatives
they're free
were the ones
markets.
That wanted to stay with King George back in the day.
Exactly. Liberalism, in the classical sense, advocates free markets, laissez-faire economics, civil liberties under the law. All of these kinds of things were in place, and they've co-opted the terms liberal and conservative and so on. But in the truest sense, religions have a divinely established responsibility. It's protected under the Constitution. The Constitution is an instrument by which religions can perform their divinely established responsibility. And when they lose track of that, and when they begin to bend the knee to the Leviathan beast that is taking over us, they are betraying not only their God, but also their flock. And there are very few religions that don't do that. I mean, I can think of just a handful, and they're minusculely small in comparison to the millions that are aligned with other religions. And it's almost to me like religions are trying to, they're on a beauty contest to see who's going to be the Church of the New World Order. They're trying to march to the beat of that drum. You know what? You go into China as a religion, you have to sign documents that say basically we're not going to talk about freedom. We're not going to talk about, you know, this thing about God is over everything. No. Government is more over everything. But we're getting to that point in the United States.
Well, and people have this false notion. People have this false notion that Russia has turned into a super Christian nation. And man, Russia is more Christian than America and this and that. And I'm not saying America is as Christian as it ought to be. But this idea that somehow Russia is our friends or Russia is the example and the go-to country for Christianity is a false belief as well, Doctor.
Well, here's the thing. Who really is in charge? And it's really truly God, but he's letting us, you know, sit in our stew and pick our path and all that kind of stuff. The real authority is God. I've got a chapter in my book called Of Education and Freedom, where we talk about, I compare and contrast the modern education system with the founders' education. They weren't afraid to talk about the godly heritage of everything that the nation was based upon. I've got a chapter in there called The Moral Imperative, where we talk about the necessity of morality and virtue. You know, George Washington, in his inaugural address, his first inaugural address, talked about the basis of his administration was both public and private morality, virtue. That's what the basis of it was. Religion and morality were the pillars, he said in his farewell address, of our liberty. All of these kinds of things are being lost sight of as we kind of, religions fold. And they're folding themselves into a new world order. I'm sorry, it's what?
Yes, it was like we're careening into a new world order, though. We're not going into it.
What religions are on this beauty contest? Oh, who's going to be the religion of the new world order? I'll tell you what. It's not going to be man-based. I mean, go read, what is it, the 17th chapter of Revelation about the Babylon and the whore of all the earth and all that kind of stuff and this scarlet beast. And the scarlet beast, I believe, I mean, everything. What color is associated most with communism and socialism? Scarlet, the red. And the scarlet beast, they're riding into every nation on. Yeah, at least the way they've set up the red states and the blue states. But that's just the idea. I really believe that the scarlet beast and this Babylonian whore are really where we are in the world today. And if the churches embrace the accoutrements of that belief system, the churches are going to fail. The churches, you cannot turn your back on the true purpose of God and end up at having a happy ending. It's just not going to be.
You're right about that. We'll come back. We've got one more second to break this down about private and public virtue, about the proper role of churches, and more. This half hour is brought to you by Freedom Fest. FreedomFest.com. I'll be live in Memphis, Tennessee, July 12th through the 15th, and hope to see you at FreedomFest.com.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Mm-hmm. Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
All right, back with you live, Dr. Scott Bradley, freedomsrisingsun.com, and Sam Bushman on your radio to preserve the nation, our goal, in the traditions of our founding fathers. Pure application of true principle is the only way back. God, family, and country are the three quintessential components based on religion and morality. You got to have public and private virtue in the people, in your leaders, to make that happen, ladies and gentlemen. Our society, or our government, is only adequate for a moral and a religious society. It's inadequate for the governing of any other. The founding fathers were very, very particular about that. They highlighted it. They relentlessly taught it and educated it regarding it. Education is key for us to understand and carry forward their legacy. But Dr. Bradley, they understood that there was a very sacred, very critical leadership role that the church would play. God was no doubt subservient to religion, to God. And government was, supposed to be our servant, supposed to be deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. It was God, then we the people, and then government had a contract with us to carry out their responsibilities and nothing more, nothing less. It was very clear and simple and divided to chain them down to prevent them from gaining too much power and authority. Now they're turning all that upside down, sir.
Well, that's... Yeah, the essence of what the problem is, and the religions are not even playing in the game anymore. Religions feel like, oh yeah, we can maybe institute our sacraments and our processes in our chapels, our synagogues, our temples, our cathedrals, but they have kind of backed away in fear from this marketplace. They feel like they've got to kowtow to the latest vogue things that are going on, and religion should be preeminent in people's lives, and government is, as you point out, is a pretty small footprint. It has specific assignments, the fulfillment of those. Anything beyond that is usurpation. Anything beyond that is tyranny, and we've got it upside down and backwards. We've turned the pyramid upside down. We've got the point, you know, sticking in the backs of the people of the pyramid, and the government's the weight on the top. It's just astounding. You know, you talk about the public and private virtue. This isn't something that just popped into George Washington's mind when he got up to give his first inaugural address. I mean, here, I'm going to just skip really quickly through one paragraph. I'm not going to read the whole paragraph, just three little statements out of one paragraph to show you how central this was. In his first inaugural, he said, "The foundation of our national policy will be laid in the pure and immutable principles of private morality." Skipping a couple of lines down, "There is no truth more thoroughly established than that there exists in the economy and course of nature an indissoluble union between virtue and happiness." Skipping a couple of lines down, "We ought to be no less persuaded that the propitious smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and right, which heaven itself has ordained." We could go back to Blackstone and read how all of God's rules and laws are absolutely fully applicable among the nation. We could read what Ben Franklin said.
And essential.
Only a essential. There is, you cannot have a free nation. Well, here's what he said. Only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. As nations become corrupt and vicious, they have more need of masters. We look at what was in the Northwest Ordinance of 1787/89. Religion, morality, and knowledge being necessary to good government and the happiness of mankind, schools and the means of education shall forever be encouraged. Here's what the father of the American Revolution said, Sam Adams. The sum of all is, if we would be most truly enjoy the gift of heaven, let us become a virtuous people. Then we shall both deserve and enjoy it. When, on the other hand, if we are universally vicious and debauched in our manners, though the form of our Constitution carries the face of the most exalted freedom, we shall, in reality, be the most abject slaves. We could go on and on and on, Sam. People understood that as this nation was founded, and churches don't seem to understand it today, the way they're interacting with what they consider, it would seem to me, to be their true God. It's a false God. It's government.
Either they don't understand it, Doctor, or maybe they don't care.
Well, you'd have to ask them. I can't read behind their, I don't know, their closed-door sessions. They may fear it. They may think that there's some benefit. Usually people do things because they think there's going to be some benefit to them. You go to work so you can get money. You know, you're nice to your wife and she feeds you dinner. Whatever. I mean, there better be more depth than that. There's got to be more. There's got to be more to this than meets the eye. But I believe the churches have abrogated their responsibility almost to a universal level at this point. You know, there's way too much denial of God in their actions every single day. And I wish they'd step it up and take the role so government doesn't usurp everything.
They won't do it, Doctor. I'm afraid that they won't do it. They've lost their opportunities.
Well, so far they haven't, but I believe the time is coming. I don't know how soon in the future. I pray it's sooner than later. But the time will come when there will be a return of our King, our true King.
Yes,
and
you're
I
right
think
about
he'll,
that. Fact,
I think look, that the he'll
churches,
exact...
The churches today are working with international governments to create a world's cooperative religion, to create a, I don't know what you want to call it, a co-op of sorts. They're literally advocating for and working on that right this very minute. It's going to be about impossible for them to step back and change their mind. Now, there's no doubt the King will return. But in the meantime, though, they've already made their choice, and they're embarking down, in my mind, the wrong road for this.
You heard about the new the environmental Ten Commandment things that was re-released
by
Sinai.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about in part.
Major religions from all around the world played in that game. They denied the very existence of their God, I think, by doing that, by participating in a complete dilution and pollution of that Decalogue that came off of Mount Sinai. In the hands of Moses, he brought it to the people. And of course, it was the most basic of laws. It wasn't the higher order, if you will. But certainly these individuals that I when the Savior does return, I think that he will say, depart from me. I never knew you. We can scripturally point that out, you know, that he has not suggested, he's absolutely scripturally incorporated his statement that he'll respond to those people, I never knew you, depart from me, you know. And so I wouldn't want to be in those shoes, but I can only, I guess, I can try and make my influence known by the means that is given to me, but I can try most devotedly to align my life with the principles that I can read personally. I mean, it wasn't that many centuries ago that the church kept the people from being able to read the scriptures. You know, no, you got to have a gatekeeper. And what's what we do with government now? No, you got to have a federal judge tell you what the Constitution says. See, there's always a gatekeeper, and the founders were exactly the opposite. They understood the value of being able to read their own scriptures. They understood the value of setting up a nation that the common man and woman could understand. And they did their best to do that. Nowadays, we've got all these quote-unquote specialists that are going to tell us how to be a parent or maybe to be a better, global citizen or whatever. And honestly, within our heart of hearts, I think we have the means and the necessary intelligence, if we'll exercise it, to be able to pursue it and obtain it. And I think we're giving away our freedom and our ability to even make those kind of choices anymore. And the religions are helping that happen. That's what's most frustrating to me. People we thought we could trust. People we thought would hear God. And no, you've got to hear God yourself. If you don't hear His Spirit in your heart, I think there's a great chance you're going to be misled. That's great.
You need to develop a direct relationship with Jesus Christ yourself. You need to understand the proper role of personal and public virtue. You need to understand that religion and morality are the key supports for liberty. You need to understand that the principles based on the Ten Commandments, based on the Bill of Rights, based on the Declaration of Independence, based on the Constitution, the supreme law of our land, based on the scriptures that we have in front of us, we need to live according to God's law and become self-governed people based on moral principle. And if we do, you know what? There's a bright future for us. If we don't, there's a rough future ahead for us. Look, Christ will return. There's no doubt about that. That is a given. The only question is where we'll stand when he does. Are we going to be part of his church, one of the 10 virgins? And then are we going to be one of the 5 who had oil in their lamps? Or are we going to be found without oil in our lamps? Or are we going to be found not even part of the 10 virgins because we're not even part of his kingdom and his church? You know, where are we going to stand in this liberty movement? Are we going to put our money where our mouth is? Are we going to put our time and our efforts and our talents to the cause of liberty? Are we going to grow the talents God has given us? You know, these are the fundamental, real questions to ask, Doctor.
We do bring forth a lot of oint and offals. There's no question about that, because there are a lot of things that are wrong. But let me just say this. My personal belief is we live in a most magnificent time for this reason. We need to awaken and say to ourselves, I am the master of my destiny. I can personally come unto Christ. I personally can draw nearer to God, not just with my mouth and my lips, but with my heart. And I personally can get everything aligned properly. Now, everything else, the figurative statement, can go to hell in a handbasket. But if we personally say, my pastor is not going to bring me there. If my pastor is a gatekeeper to my God, my pastor's wrong. And they're in the wrong place. And they're being an impediment to my progress. Salvation is an individual thing. Individually, we come to God in Christ. Individually, we bring our families along. Individually, we hope our congregations come along and our communities and our states and our nation. But the fact of the matter is, we've got to start here in our own hearts. And I believe when people can awaken to that sense of understanding, if they can say, wait a minute, he's right. I can do this personally. I don't need to stand at a gate and holler over the fence at God when my gatekeeper's my pastor. No, I can approach God and humbly seek.
Not only can I, but I will, Doctor.
We must. Not just will, we must. If we don't, we're toast because we're not going to be on the right side of things when he returns. And you know, you're not going to get down on somebody else's coattails. Sam, if you're a great guy and I'm trying to ride your coattails, it ain't going to work. We've got to make this effort.
Well, no matter what, riding my coattails isn't going to work because I am a great guy, but I'm not the Savior, Jesus Christ. So that's the reality check right there. And ladies and gentlemen, the reason we point this out is because we want this to be solutions radio. There are a lot of ain't that awfuls. There's no doubt about it. But there's also equally, if not even more so, solutions that we can embrace that can preserve our lives and those with whom we care for and love and have a God-ordained stewardship to look after. It's our prayer you'll give us heed and pay attention to what we say. Dr. Bradley with me, ladies and gentlemen. FreedomsRisingSun.com is the site. LovingLiberty.net. Donate liberally. Would surely appreciate it. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.